Well, if you didn't follow the vote tallies last night, you probably woke up today surprised at the final results. In the hotly fought gubernatorial primary, GOP candidate Ron DeSantis won in a landslide, and Andrew Gillum surged in the final hours to win the Democratic ticket. This year's primary also saw a larger turnout than usual for a midterm. So let's talk about what happened last night. We're joined by CBS4's Jim DeFede, host of Facing South Florida. We're going to talk about all about last night and what to expect before the general election. Jim, always a pleasure.
Louis, thanks for having me. I've got my coffee, so let's go.
I don't have coffee. I got my tea. I'm good. All right, let's start by taking a look at the major upset in the Democratic primary. Polls had Gwen Graham with a strong lead over Andrew Gillum and Philip Levine. Do we have a sense of what gave Gillum the final edge at the end?
Yeah, I think there were a few factors. One, you know, again, yet again, we're realizing you can't trust polling. Polling is highly inaccurate. But I think there were several reasons why Andrew Gillum won this race. And I think the first is, this became a battleground for progressives across the country. They've been wanting to prove that a progressive candidate can win. They see this as a microcosm of 2018 of what can happen in 2020. So they are using Florida as a proving ground. As a result, you had Bernie Sanders come down and campaign for Gillum. You had George Soros and Tom Steyer pony up big money to help Gillum maintain some sort of semblance in this race and make a final push with TV advertising in South Florida. But another factor that I thought was critical is you saw no negative ads run against Andrew Gillum. You had every other candidate bashing each other on TV, you know, whether it was Levine attacking Green, Green attacking Graham, on back and forth, but nobody took a punch at Gillum. And I think for two reasons. One, the polls had Gillum in fourth place, so you don't want to waste your money punching down. But two, and perhaps more importantly, none of the candidates wanted to be seen as attacking an African-American candidate.
And
as a result, you know, they wanted to be able to look forward to November and not turn off African-American voters, so they went ahead and laid kid gloves off him, and in hindsight, that was their downfall.
And we talk about negative ads, not to say it was an ad, but, well, something was said already before the general election. I'll get to that in a second. On the Republican side, Ron DeSantis easily took the victory over Adam Putnam. Again, polls showed it was a lot tighter race, but, I mean, really a landslide. Were the fundamental issues within Putnam's campaign, I mean, you know, what did he miss on this? Or was it just kind of a foregone conclusion that Trump supporters were going to give DeSantis the win?
So on the downside of what Adam Putnam did wrong, Adam Putnam was essentially trying to run a campaign that says, I'm Florida first, you know, I'm a good, competent leader, I'm the heir apparent, I'm the establishment candidate. Establishment candidates do not fare well anymore in the Republican Party. The other problem, too, was his mishandling of the concealed weapons permits and the process that went through sort of betrayed the notion that he was a good, competent leader who could manage and run the state. But set all that aside, the reality is the second Donald Trump tweeted his support for Ron DeSantis, this race changed. The Florida GOP primary voter is a Trump voter. And so once he did his thing by tweeting in support of DeSantis, you had two things immediately happen. One, national fundraising came in a big way for DeSantis. And two, the foot soldiers in the GOP that love Donald Trump and believe that Ron DeSantis has had Donald Trump's back in Congress, they see him on Fox News, they were going to turn out for him. Donald Trump made the difference. He takes credit for it. He deserves the credit for it. And that's what they got, and this is Trump's party now in Florida.
And we talk about controversy. It's already started. Congressman DeSantis was on Fox News this morning talking about his challenger in the general election, Andrew Gillum, and his comments already stirring the controversy. Let's listen.
You know, I watched those Democrat debates. None of that was my cup of tea. But, I mean, he performed better than the other people there. So we've got to work hard to make sure that we continue Florida going in a good direction. Let's build off the success we've had on Governor Scott. The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state. That is not going to work. That's not going to be good for Florida. So I'm going to fight for what I believe in.
Okay. DeFede, what in the world do you expect to see in the next few months?
Well, if this is what the first 24 hours are like, we can only imagine what the next 10 weeks are going to be like. Look, this is going to be a hypersensitive race. You're going to see race as an issue. You're going to see a lot of issues being raised, a lot of name calling back and forth. This is going to be down and dirty because there is so much at stake. what I referred to before, a microcosm of what's happening in 2018 being a harbinger of things to come in 2020. So you're going to see a lot of national figures coming on both sides fighting this race. And the other point that I don't think gets made often enough is whoever is the governor elected this time around will be the governor in 2020 when the state's congressional districts are being redrawn. While the legislature does the redrawing, the governor has the ability to veto. Having a Democrat in the Tallahassee governor's mansion would be critical for Democrats to win back some for additional congressional seats when the lines are redrawn. So there's a lot at stake here.
What were some of the other big surprises from yesterday's primary?
Well, I think that if you go and you look at Congressional District 27, I think a lot of people thought that Donna Shalala would win much more handily than she did. She's very fortunate right now. I mean, if Matt Hagman had not been in this race, David Richardson would be the nominee. And I think you could almost make the reverse. If David Richardson had been out of this race, Matt Hagman would be the nominee. Donna Shalala showed herself to be a weak candidate this time around. Now, she's going to have to work a lot harder. She's going to have to be a lot smarter. Democrats still have the advantage, but not as great an advantage as you would think. If you look at the raw vote totals, there were 44,000 votes cast in that district in the primary for Democrats. There were 39,000 votes cast for Republicans. That's a pretty good advantage for Democrats, but it's not a slam dunk that everyone's been assuming it is. I think that race could get really interesting. When it's a generic D versus a generic R, the D wins easily. The problem is Donna Shalala is not a generic D. She carries the Clinton baggage with her. Her age is going to be an issue that some people are going to look at. I think that there's a number of things that the Republicans, if they have the time, money, and resources to run against her, could hurt her on. It's still favored to be a Democratic pickup, but we're going to have to wait and see.
All right, real quickly, turnout was better than we've seen in usual midterms, but what do you attribute to the voters' interest in this midterm?
I think because of what is at stake. I think this is the most consequential midterm election probably of my lifetime, and I think voters are feeling it both on the Republican and Democratic side. You saw, for instance, in Dade County, I think the vote was up about 72% over 4 years ago, the last midterm election. Among Republicans, it was up over 30%. Normally, Republicans would be dancing in the streets at a 30% increase in turnout from 4 years ago, until you look across the way at the Democrats and what they did. I think it's going to continue to be this way. Look, going back to the governor's race real briefly, when you look at how that race is going to play out, I don't think it's going to be a fight for the center, as everyone keeps talking about. I don't think it's about whether or not Ron DeSantis can get swing voters or Andrew Gillum can get swing voters. I think this is a base election year. I think the Democrats' calculation is that we've been nominating moderates for the last five governor's races and losing every time. What we need instead is, the Democrats believe, is a progressive candidate who will increase their numbers, bring new voters to the polls. And I think on the Republican side, Ron DeSantis feels the same way. He wants to get his voters out, try to go keep that Trump coalition together that won Florida in 2016. But you're going to see a fight to both parties' extreme ends.
That's interesting. Not a fight for the middle. Let's push off to the right and left. Real quickly, we'll finish on this. Many were calling 2018 the year of the woman in politics. How does that play out so far?
Well, Gwen and the men turn out to be the men. So it was not a good year for women in that regard. But look, in the congressional races, you have three women running in competitive races, four women actually running in competitive races in the congressional district. You got Donna Shalala versus Maria Elvira Salazar for Congressional District 27 to replace Ileana. You've got Debbie Mercalso Powell running against Carlos Curbelo, and you got Mary Barzee Flores running against Lincoln Diaz-Balart. So women are still a major factor up and down the ticket. We'll see whether or not this turns out to be the year of the woman. We'll know that in November.
We've been talking with CBS4's Jim DeFede, host of Facing South Florida, talking about last night's primary and where we go from here. Jim, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Luz.
All right. Still to come, a closer look at the part of our population desperate for safe housing. That's coming up next on Sundial here on WLRN.